And we would ask that today you'd open our hearts up, that we would receive the love that comes from the written word, and that we would be responding to you, Jesus, the very living word. Come right now in the power of your Holy Spirit. Illumine our hearts, illumine our minds, and prepare our hearts to receive implanted the word of God. For your glory and our joy and great fruitfulness, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Was working out in the yard recently, and fall's coming, and so it's a time for transplanting, and I wanted to start another flower bed. So I had a laborer from the family to come and help me, and we were turning the soil in an area of the yard that had never been turned, and so it was some difficult work, and we were pulling out rocks and weeds and huge roots, and then adding amendments to the soil to prepare it for planting. Because if we could have took what we were going to transplant and just set it on top of the soil, but it wouldn't have survived the winter. The soil had to be prepared. It had to have something done for it so that it would be ready to receive what we were going to plant into it. And really, that's an illustration that we're going to be looking at in the Bible today that God says about us, is that you need to be prepared to receive the Word of God. I find sometimes that believers are really frustrated, and they'll talk to me about it, and I say, you know, I just don't understand. You know, my life is not making a difference. My life doesn't seem to be bearing any fruit. I'd say, check the soil. Check the soil. If you prepare a place for the seed and the seed is received, it will bear fruit in your life. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 8 as we look at one of the foundational parables within all of the teachings of Jesus Christ. This parable of the soil, they call it the parable of the sower in your Bibles, but it's not about the sower. It's about the soil. And the sower certainly is working the soil, but the issue that he's trying to teach is, take a look at the condition of the soils as we read through this story. Beginning with verse 4. When a large crowd was coming together, those from the various cities were journeying to him. He spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell in the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out and say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that was his message. Can you imagine that? That was it. He was done. He moved on. He just told him that story, and then he moved on. And people were left with questions and thoughts and wondering, okay, what was that about? And so it says in verse 9, the disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." It's a prophecy that comes out of the Old Testament and the book of Isaiah. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, but in time of temptation, fall away. The seed fell among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who've heard the word in an honest and a good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. There's a really interesting parable here. He gives us a story, and then he gives us the interpretation of the story, and the verses will match piece by piece to each of the four conditions of the soil. And so it's interesting. He says, the seed is the word of God. Friends, if you want to grow in this life, you must plant the truth into your heart. That is a key condition. All right? And he says the seed is the word. Now, if you'll notice here, he then talks about the soil, but he compares it to the heart. If you look in verse 12, he says, those beside the road are those who have heard, and when the devil comes and takes away the word from their, what? Their heart. So he says the soil pictures the heart. All right? So the word of God is the seed. The soil is the heart. And that explains the whole picture. Now all you have to do is just walk out the gardening principles, okay? So those of you who are gardeners, this will make perfect sense. And for the rest of you, I think it'll be very clear. But the condition of the soil determines the success of the seed. That's what he shows you here. When you look at this and say, okay, there's four different types of soil. The seed is good in all situations, friends. The Word of God is living and active and powerful. The Word of God has every potential to bring change in any person's life. But the condition of the soil determines the success of the seed. And so one of the questions I'm going to be asking you today is this. What's the condition of the soil of your heart? Where are you at? Because unprepared soil is unproductive. Can any of you gardeners agree with that? That's true. Unprepared soil will be unproductive. All right? And so roads, he talks about some being fallen on the road, rocks and weeds don't make good gardens, do they? You know, that's why nowadays we got the rototillers, you know, you sit there just, you know, you beat up your soil and they kind of beat you up at the same time as you ride along behind those things. But it changes the condition of the soil. It makes it ready to receive. It needs to be prepared. So you can look at your life and say, okay, what's growing in my life? How is my life producing? Because I've got good seed. Each of you that come each week are sown seed. If you're reading on your own, you're sowing seed. If you're listening to the word, you're sowing seed. But the potential of the word is eliminated by unresolved heart obstacles. There is potential in the Word of God to change your life. But you must be willing to let the Word change you. If you don't let it prepare you, if you don't let it work you, you will not experience the fruit that God intends for you to experience. It's interesting, this is put in another passage in James chapter 1. Read this with me. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. 121. All right, he says, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Sometimes, friends, we have to recognize this, is that before you put something in, you've got to take something out. All right. See, I wanted to put things in the ground the other day, but before we put stuff in the ground, we had to take stuff out of the ground. Now, I thought I was just going to be taking a little grass off the top of the surface. But when we got underneath the surface, I was afraid we were going to break our spading forks because the roots were so large that were in there. And we actually brought out shovels and axes trying to chop this stuff up because there was something underneath that was going to hinder the growth. So he says, you have to be willing to deal with those issues in your heart. Okay? So, let's take a look at these four soils. All right? And what I'm going to do is we're going to parallel the original story with the explanation of the story. So if you look over there in verse 5, he says, "The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up." It was walked on soil. It was just a path. It wasn't respected. It's kind of interesting. Some people, when they hear the word, they don't do anything with it. It just sits right on the top. It gets trampled on. It gets ignored. And sometimes when I try to share the word with people, I'll have people tell me, "I don't want to hear it." All right? I recognize that I'm dealing with hard soil at that point. All right? But if over here in verse 12, he says, "And those beside the road are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart." So now he adds a little information here. He says, okay, what happens is the seed comes along, it lands on the hard packed road, it makes no penetration, so it's right there to be taken away. Now this is one of those spots where correlation is an important part of Bible study. You know what correlation is? Observation is what I'm showing you right here. You're looking at the text, you're making observations. Correlation is when you go to another text and say, "I wonder how this compares with another verse of Scripture." So turn with me over to Matthew 13, because this parable is also told in Matthew and also in Mark. And so sometimes when you're studying, if you will compare Scripture to Scripture, it will give you greater levels of clarity. And sometimes there'll be an added bonus. And it is definitely true of Matthew 13. You might want to stick your finger there, because we're coming back several times to Matthew 13 today. All right. So in Matthew 13, when he's explaining the parable in verse 19, so Matthew 13, verse 19, it says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road." One of the reasons you'll see me work very diligently when I'm teaching to make sure there's a clear understanding is that I realize that if you walk out of here with the seed on top of the ground, it's gone before lunch. You know what I'm talking about? You sit around in the evening and say, "What was that sermon about this morning?" And you cannot even recall. You know, too many football games in between. That's what I'm here to say. No. But we haven't taken it in. It hasn't rooted down inside at all. And so, but if you get it, if you understand it, it has the potential to bring about an influence. But if it's not understood, it can easily be snatched away. And so he says that's the condition of the first soil. It's the walked on soil. And so Satan steals the word from hearts that don't understand it. So when we're sharing with people, one of the key questions to ask is, does that make sense to you? Do you understand that? And I've always been amazed at some of the questions that people have given me, but if you don't give people a chance to ask you questions when you're talking with them, they may not understand, and then whatever you share with them may be snatched away. So it's a key part of our witness and being involved is to try and get the seed down into people's lives, all right? Because you have to comprehend the truth if you're going to trust it. Does that make sense? You got to comprehend it if you're going to trust it. All right? So then look at the next soil. Verse 6, "And the seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture." All right? Then you compare that over here to verse 13, and those, I'm back in Luke 8 if I lost you there. "Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away." Okay? There are some fields that are just wild, rocky soil. All right? That doesn't look like a very good spot for a garden, does it? All right? And sometimes he says that's a condition of a person's heart. All right? He says now a seed can fall there, and because there's a rock there, moisture will gather because the rock will hold the moisture. And so the seed will germinate, but the root goes where? Nowhere. And so the seed has the life, But the rock did not receive the life. The soil did not receive the life. And so the life that was there did not profit. It did not benefit. And so it says, people will receive the word with joy. This is kind of an interesting thing, but you can have an emotional response to a message and still not trust the truth. You can get excited about something, but that doesn't mean that you're trusting in it. And there's many people who make profession of faith who have no possession. They say good things, but it doesn't mean they're doing anything with it. And so the word must be rooted in the life to be sustained in testing. See, trials are going to come into every person's life. Have you found that to be the case? Trials come into every person's life. And when that trial comes, is if the truth is not rooted in your life, it'll wither. It will not produce. And again, over in Matthew 13, verse 21, he puts this a little more clearly over here. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately falls away. So, he's not talking about someone who was saved and loses their salvation. He says the root had no root in themselves. It never took root in them. They'd received the message, but they hadn't received the truth inside. And so we need to recognize that you can come to church, you can amen a sermon, and you can walk out and not let it take root in your life. There has to be a choice. And I think about rocks, you know, because you always want to take rocks out of a garden. You know, rock is a rock will not receive the truth. Why would you have rocks in your life? Because there's deception there. There's already hardness there. There's things that you already believe that the Word of God is going to contradict. And when the Word of God comes in, it wants to penetrate that issue, but if you don't let it, then you'll stay a rock. It won't change you. It won't have an effect. And so it's important to remove the lies that resist the truth. And when you come and hear what the Word of God says, and you say, well, that's different. You know, you just start in this book. You know, you start in Genesis 1, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right there, that'll contradict a lot of what you were taught in science. And you say, well, am I going to believe what a scientist taught me, or am I going to believe what the Word of God declares? People say, well, I don't buy all that. That's interesting, friends, because you got a problem with Jesus then, because Jesus says, in the beginning, God made them male and female. So Jesus Christ confirmed the creation story. This is, as we said before, the inspired Word of God. But it will contradict things that you believe are true. But when your beliefs contradict the Word of God, I've got a suggestion. Yield to the truth. It's not in you. It's in Him. All right? So back here, Luke 8:14. The next soil. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. This is called the weedy soil. All right? All of you have had a garden, if you've had a garden, have had that experience. It doesn't matter how well you till it to begin with, does it? There are still going to be weeds that pop up. So you can prepare the soil, you can take out the rocks, you can plant the seed, and all of a sudden you'll find that with the seed, as it begins to grow, weeds also come up. And you can cut down those blackberries, you can dig up those blackberries, and guess what? They come back, isn't that right? So you have to deal with the issue of weeds. But notice what happens. This is something that's important. It says, the thorns choke the seed. And so it brings no fruit to maturity. Notice, here it doesn't say that the plant doesn't grow. What it says is the plant has no fruit. So this is a completely different condition than the rocky soil. The rocky soil has no root in itself. It's a dead thing. But here, he says, the plant grows up and it's choked from becoming fruitful by the weeds. And why is it that weeds make a plant unfruitful? Because there's competition. There's only so much water, so much soil, and so much sunlight that's available to the garden. And if a weed grows up, it takes all those things away from the other seed. Now, it's interesting because sometimes in our lives, there are things that are weeds that we don't even recognize. In fact, somebody offered me a flower, and you know, I tend to be a fanatic with flowers. I really like them. And I was really excited about it. They said, oh, yeah, and it's beautiful, and it reseeds itself. And I thought, oh, that would be great, you know. But, you know, do you know the definition of a weed? A weed is any plant that grows where you don't want it, okay? And so that can include flowers. You know, Queen Anne's lace is an obnoxious weed when it goes where you don't want it. But I brought a weed that is also a flower, so I thought it'd be interesting to use this as an illustration. And this is what's called a 4 o'clock. Now, 4 o'clock has this really cute little seed, and it goes in the ground, and you think, okay, that's nice, and it has these beautiful color blossoms. But there's this weird thing that happens every year that it's in the ground. It grows a serious tuber that chokes out everything else around it. All right. In fact, as you can see, we couldn't even get all of it out this morning, so I brought it there. But it's just that idea that you have to deal with weeds or it's going to take the life away from something else. All right. And so when you're looking at your life and you say, you know what, I've been reading my Bible, I've been coming to church, I'm listening to the word, and yet it seems like I'm not bearing very much fruit. I'm not seeing some of the results that I wish I was seeing in my life. Check for weeds. Now, what are weeds? Well, in the spiritual illustration here, he points out what they are. He goes through it very specifically. Notice what they are. All right? They are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life. And that's pretty much the same way that it's put back there in Matthew. The seed sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So he points out three areas of potential weediness in the soil of your heart. All right? So let's take a look at those. The one is worry. Anxiety is a deception. Anxiety is saying that God doesn't care and God will not provide for me. All right? You read Matthew, it says, be anxious for nothing. Matthew says, don't worry about tomorrow. God's going to take care of it. But when we're worried, when we're anxious, we're saying God's not there. So we're contradicting the truth of the Word of God. And so he says, when you're worried, it's a weed. What's worry? I'm glad that several of you are listening. What's worry? It's a weed. Okay. Why am I being obnoxious about this? Because we let it stay. Well, I'm just a little worried about it. And Christians, we know how to sanctify our weeds. We relabel them. I'm just concerned. I'm not worried. I just got a little concern going on here about this situation. See, we use euphemisms for weeds. No, it's a weed. And if you don't identify it as a weed, what happens? You leave it, and weeds don't stay the same size. You know, you don't have to weed around weeds for weeds to grow. Have you ever noticed that? You don't even have to water them. You know, you leave your garden, and the weeds just prosper. The rest of your plants will die on the vine. But weeds, they take off on their own. I'm here to tell you, if you don't deal, and I'm telling you from personal experience, if you don't deal with the weed called worry, it will suck the energy out of your life. So if you want to uproot worry, you have to add truth, okay? And the truth is worship. Worship is the antidote to worry. You spray worship on your worries, and your worries are going to die, all right? It will cure them. When you begin worshiping God for who he is and what he says and what he's promised you, you can grow healthy. So that's a key one, all right? And then he says, riches. And over there in Matthew, he said, the deceitfulness of riches. Now, that's interesting. How are riches deceitful? I mean, money's money, right? But it's the illusion that it gives you of security. Isn't that right? And some of you noticed that your 401s changed over the last 24 months. Is that right? Hey, I am well prepared for. My barn is full. All of a sudden, my barn is half empty. All right? Many people had up to 50% of what they saved disappear. But there was the illusion of having adequate provision. All right? Worry is a weed, but arrogance is a weed. There is a deceitfulness that comes from money which says, I don't need God and I don't need you. That's what happens is that there's a tendency with wealth to produce pride, all right? And I don't have to depend on God. I had a guy used to tell me, he says, I don't thank God for my food. God didn't buy that bread. I bought that bread myself. I earned that with my own money. I worked for the man, so I tried to talk to him about the truth. I says, so where'd you get the energy to work? From the food that I ate. I says, and I says, where'd you get the life that you were eating with? He says, well, I got that from my mother. I says, where'd you get your mother? He says, shut up and go back to work. You know, all of a sudden he didn't like the direction that was going. See, we don't want to acknowledge that there's a creator that you're dependent upon. And there's a deception that can come that says, if I have more, then I have what I need. And I'm here to tell you, you can have a lot of money and still be spiritually starving. All right. So the solution for greed in the Bible, it's very, very clear all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. The solution for greed is to give. That is the only way to get rid of the arrogance of money is to give money away. And then you see the glory that can come to God. You see the value of it. When you let go of it, it changes you. All right? I think it was John Wesley who says, you know, when I have money in my pocket, he says, it grows roots. It attaches itself to you. So we have to deal with that, all right? So if you want to deal with the greed issue in your life, then give it away, all right? Then he says, the pleasures of this life. Oh, so God doesn't want you to have any pleasure? Is that what the Bible says? No, the Bible says Jesus Christ came that you would have an abundant life. All right? But when comfort becomes king, and Jesus is not, when you're more concerned about your pleasure than you are about your obedience, then you got a weed. Okay? And the weed in America is called indulgence. Is that we have found every possible way to make ourselves pleasurable, every possible way to entertain ourselves, to make ourselves comfortable. And in that process, it deceives us that pleasure is my most important priority, that I would rather have that than almost anything. And so people will seek their own entertainment instead of coming to listen to the service. Isn't that right? Because there's something else that's more pleasurable to them. All right? People will bury themselves in debt to make themselves comfortable. And what does debt do to you? It eats you out from the inside. All right? But it's the pursuit of comfort that puts people in that place. What did Jesus say? Take up your cross and follow me. That doesn't exactly sound like comfort is king, does it? Take up your cross and follow me. Learn to be a person who denies yourself. Fasting is a great solution to the issue of comfort. When you begin telling your body, you are not in charge. I'm setting aside this day for prayer. I'm not going to partake of food. I'm going to partake of the Spirit. And you begin to let your body know that God is in charge. It will change your life. All right? And so instead of pleasure, you pursue sacrifice. So I got a question for you. As you look at those three, which of the three is most likely to be the largest weed in your garden? Now notice I didn't say the other aren't there, okay? But what I find is I tend to go after the biggest one first, you know, when you're starting on a patch, you know. I want to go after the biggest thing first. You get the big one out, and then it makes it a little easier to go after the others. What's the biggest weed in your garden? Think about that. And then say, God, are you willing to let God deal with that? All right? Because God wants to produce abundantly in you. If you don't deal with your distractions, it will be your destruction. That's what will happen. So look what he says next. All right? But the seed in the good soil, I'm in verse 15 of Luke 8. The seed in the good soil, these are the ones who've heard the word in an honest and a good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. All right? So if you've picked your weed, you've pulled your weed, you've gotten the ground ready, he says now you need to be a person who prepares the soil, because prepared soil produces abundantly. Because why? Because it's got good seed that's going to be planted in it. The word of God is good seed. So if you prepare the soil, that it will produce abundantly because it's a good seed. All right? Hear me. The potential of the word in your life is beyond what you can comprehend. It's beyond what you can comprehend. I appreciated some of the affirmation. I appreciated all of the affirmation, but I appreciated the affirmation that was shared with me this morning. But I'm here to tell you that what you see and what you experience a benefit of is the word sown in my life. And before I was even choosing to sow it in my life, somebody was sowing it in my life. But there came a point in time where I began to choose to sow the word into my life when I was in high school and began to read the word for myself. And then all of a sudden it got a grip on my heart, and all of a sudden I said, you know what? If this is really true, then this is more important than anything. And my values began to change. And as I continue to sow the word, it bears fruit. And I'm excited to see it bearing fruit in your life. I'm excited to see the changes that God does in you as I sow seed in your life. Friends, gardening requires faith, doesn't it? You take an ugly little seed. Some of you thought that was garlic. I'm not sure exactly how you saw that as garlic, okay? But some of you thought that was garlic. But you take something that looks ugly and you put it in the ground. And by the way, about 3 to 4 inches for an iris, okay? About 3 to 4 inches into the ground. And this spring, you're going to see a beautiful Dutch iris will come out of this bulb. But you have to have faith to believe that's going to happen. You look at that and say, that will never produce anything pretty. That doesn't look like anything, right? Sometimes you look at your life, and you say, that doesn't look like anything. I'm here to tell you, that dirt and this seed can bear much fruit. But you've got to believe that, all right? Because the word produces abundantly when it's received honestly and held persistently, okay? Notice how he says here, the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who've heard the word in an honest and a good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. All right? God makes promises to us that we might be motivated to take the word in. One of the favorite promises that I have is in John 15. John 15? Do we have that one? All right? Let's read this together. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this and so proved to be my disciple. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish? Yeah. He says, because when my word begins to live in you, you'll want what I want. You'll be asking for that which God wants to do in your life. He says, he gives you that promise. And he says, and you'll bear much fruit. I don't know about you, but when I garden, I don't like a little. I like a lot, all right? If I put in a tomato plant, I'm not going to be happy with one tomato, all right? I want as many as I can possibly get off of that. I want to see much fruit come. God is glorified by believers whose lives show that God is sufficient, whose lives show that God is abundant, whose lives show that there is this character. And what do we know the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5 gives us that list. He says, that's the fruit of the Spirit being in charge of your life. When the Spirit is in charge, you will be a patient person. When the Spirit is in charge, joy will take root in your life. When the Spirit is in charge, you'll be a person who's self-control. And sometimes people say, well, I just don't have that. Well, then you have denied the Spirit access in some place. He's not rooted down with the truth of the word and bearing fruit, because that's what he will do if you give him access. All right? Because he said in James, remember that verse we looked at earlier, in humility, receive the word implanted. What do we mean by that? Well, I think one of the things you have to do is in humility say, I need more than what I have. As long as you say, I've got enough, I don't need anymore. I don't have to read my Bible today. I'm not going to lose my salvation if I don't go to church today. I don't need to do that. And in pride, we avoid receiving more of the word. Friends, I need more than I can get. That's the way I feel. I have a lot of issues that I want God working on. And so this is the worked soil that we're talking about here. That you come to this soil and it is something that God wants to plow in your life, all right? Now, if you've ever watched them plow, there's something uncomfortable about the idea of the Spirit of God plowing in your life. I mean, he's going to break some things up. He's going to bring some change there. It's going to be different. But that's what happens to bring into the harvest, is you have to have the plowed soil. Are you willing to let the Spirit of God plow in your life? All right? Look what he says. He says, you receive the word, how? In an honest and a good heart. What do we mean by honest? Are you truthful about the condition? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. If we're willing to identify the weeds, God's willing to work on those things in our life. But I have to be willing to say, you know what? That's worry. That's greed. That's pride. I have to look at those things and call it what it is according to the word of God, or I will never take the word of God's direction in that situation. All right? And he says, hold it fast. We were planting the iris bulbs, or actually the rhizomes that I was planting, the bearded iris, and we were covering up and putting the soil down around the roots because it needed to hold it fast. And to take the word of God and hold it fast. See, you can hear it and leave it sitting on top. But when you memorize it, you're going to have a grip on it in your life. I would encourage you to memorize and meditate on the word of God. It has led to my life being changed. I can tell you that. It changes your life. Now, my life isn't yet all changed, okay? So I'm still memorizing. I'm still meditating. In Joshua, he said, this book of the law shouldn't depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate on it, what? Day and night, that you might be careful to do according to all that's written in it. Well, I found that if I don't look at the word at night, I only look at it in the morning, I'm missing part of God's plan for me. And that's one of the things I would tell you. Some of you are great readers, and I love to read the word. So listening, like listening on the audio tape, is not enough for me. But I find that I receive the word differently when I listen. So I would encourage you, be a listener and a reader. Compliment those things. Let God's word come in any way that you can. Do you ever think about the fact that Jesus' ministry was 100% audio. That people didn't have personalized Bibles until the printing press. And those people grew in Christ by listening to the Word of God. So I'd encourage you, become a person who listens, but then hold on to it. Why? Because unless your faith is based on facts, which is the Word of God, it's superstition or presumption or something else. So put the facts of the Word of God into your life. And say, this is what the fact is that my God will never leave me or forsake me. Is that a fact? That's a fact. But I tell you what, there's times when you don't feel like that's true. Isn't that right? But you have to have faith in the fact, so you hang on to that verse. And I have found I usually need verses when my Bible's not open. Do you know what I'm talking about? I need the verses when my Bible's not open. So I need to hide verses in my heart, memorize it, so I can draw on that truth when I'm in a certain situation and my Bible's not open. So hide it into your heart. Hold it fast. And then he says this, bear fruit with perseverance. How long do you have to water a garden plant to have it become fruitful? All the way till harvest, isn't that right? I'm here to tell you, the Bible says the harvest is the end of the age. All right? You need to be a person committed to continuing in the Word until the living Word calls you home. You need to make that kind of commitment and say, I'm going to persevere. I am going to continue. I'm going to go through this. You may miss a few days. You may drop aside from your time in the Word. You may fall out of church for a while. I'm here to tell you, just come back, get on board, and get back after it. You'll notice when you start to wilt, put some water on, all right? Friends, there's no steadfastness apart from the facts of this Word, though. If you want to bear fruit, you want to be steadfast, you have to become a person of the Word, all right? So I wanted to encourage you to hang on to the truth, because God's desire for you is to be fruitful. But understand this, His requirement for you is to be faithful. Faithfulness produces fruitfulness. We have a tendency to say, I want to be fruitful. That's good. That's a good desire. It's just you can't make fruitful happen. What you can make is faithful happen. That you come to the Spirit of God and say, I want to become a faithful man. And you will ask Him to change you as you begin to read the Word of God. Say, I want to become a faithful woman. And you ask God to change you. He will do that work in your heart. Friends, we're on a journey. There's a great and a glorious destination coming, but I want you to enjoy the journey. Sow seed today. You may not reap a harvest tomorrow, but the harvest will come. The Bible says you're not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Your heart's condition determines the Word's success. It's not the only factor that determines the fruitfulness of your life. But if your heart is not open to the Word of God, and you're not believing what the Word says, you're not holding on to what the Word says, you will never reach the fruitfulness that God wants to accomplish in your life. And so I would just encourage you to think about this. How much bloom do you want in your life? I gave you a bulb. Isn't that right? That will produce a bloom. If you've got a good one, you may get two blooms. If you want more than that, you're going to have to put more bulbs in the ground. If you want more blossoms, you're going to have to put more truth in. Does that make sense? You want more, you have to get more. If you want something to look different in your life, you're going to have to do something different to see that happen. I would encourage you, family, that you would prepare a place in your heart for the Word, because there is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have given us this word, and it gives us a vision of what could be. Lord, I think of what could be in our marriages, what could be in the workplace, what could be in our neighborhoods, if we would let your word take root in our lives. Lord, I thank you for the peace and the joy and the faithfulness that you are going to produce in this congregation as we begin to absorb your word into our heart. And Lord, as you begin to reveal to us the weeds that are hindering our fruitfulness, I ask that you would give us a heart that would ruthlessly root out all that distracts us from Christ and open us up that this community might see Christ and see the attractiveness of Christ in us because we bear the fruit of the Spirit before them. Thank you for loving us so much. And Lord, for that one today that needs to make a choice to let you be Lord of their life, I ask you to open their heart right now to you. If you're here this morning, you never put your faith in Christ, yeah, I choose today to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. You ready to make that commitment today? You just give me an indication of your hand saying, I'm choosing today to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, I thank you that the gospel is true, and that Christ is alive. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song. It's a prayer asking God to be the vision of your life.